أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في عناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون وسواء عليهم أنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء إن أنتم إلا تكذبون قالوا ربنا يعلم إنا إليكم لمرسلون وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم لئن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم وليمسنكم منا عذاب أليم قالوا طائركم معكم أئن ذكرتم بل أنتم قوم مسرفون وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون وما لي لا أعبد الذي فترني وإليه ترجعون أتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين إني آمنت بربكم فاسمعون قيل ادخل الجنة قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين وما أنزلنا على قومه من بعده من جند من السماء وما كنا منزلين إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم خامدون يا حسرة على العباد ما يأتيهم من رسول إلا كانوا به يستهزئون ألم يروا كم أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون أنهم إليهم لا يرجعون وإن كل لما جميع لدينا محضرون وآية لهم الأرض الميتة أحييناها وأخرجنا منها حبا فمنه يأكلون وجعلنا فيها جنات من نخيل وعناب وفجرنا فيها من العيون ليأكلوا من ثمره وما عملته أيديهم أفلا يشكرون سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالأرجون القديم لا الشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار وكل في فلك يسبحون وآية لهم أنا حملنا ذريتهم في الفلك المشحون وخلقنا لهم من مثله ما يركبون وإن نشأ نغرقهم فلا صريخ لهم ولا هم ينقذون إلا رحمة منا ومتاعا إلى حين وإذا قيل لهم اتقوا ما بين أيديكم وما خلفكم لعلكم ترحمون وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين وإذا قيل لهم انفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين ما ينظرون إلا صيحة واحدة تأخذهم وهم يخصمون فلا يستطيعون توصية ولا إلى أهلهم يرجعون ونفخ في الصور فإذا هم من الأجداث إلى ربهم ينسلون قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم وامتازوا اليوم أيها المجرمون ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون واصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون ولو نشاء لتمسنا على أعينهم فاستبقوا الصراط فأنى يبصرون ولو نشاء لمسخناهم على مكانتهم فما استطاعوا مضيا ولا يرجعون ومن نعمره ننقصه في الخلق أفلا يعقلون وما علمناه الشعر وما ينبغي له إن هو إلا ذكر وقرآن مبين لينذر من كان حيا ويحق القول على الكافرين أولم يروا أنا خلقنا لهم مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما فهم لها مالكون وذللناها لهم فمنها ركوبهم ومنها يأكلون ولهم فيها منافع ومشارب أفلا يشكرون واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة لعلهم ينصرون لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون فلا يحزنك قولهم إن نعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون أولم يرى الإنسان أنا خلقناه من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقا قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحيي الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون صدق الله العلي العظيم. سورة المباركة الفاتحة.
Brothers and sisters, can I ask you to recite three loud salawat to welcome Sheikh Azhar Nasser? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'd like to begin by extending my greetings to all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, on these blessed nights as we come together and we celebrate the births of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and his beloved grandson, Al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhima. I'd like to begin our discussion tonight by looking at the second and the third verses of Surah Al-Isra, just to begin our discussion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah 17 of the Qur'an, verse number 2, He says, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ We gave to Moses the book. Which book? Tawrat. وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ And we made the Torah a means of guidance for the children of Israel, for Bani Israel. أَلَّا تَتَّخِذُوا مِن دُونِي وَكِيلًا Do not take someone other than me as your wakil, as the manager of your affairs. Then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us who Bani Israel is. Who is this group of people who have been favored with revelation? Who is this nation that from them you have countless prophets? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains who Bani Israel are and why He favored them with Risala, why He made them the bearers of God's religion. ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ. Bani Israel, they are the descendants of those people who were with Nuh on the ark. And then what does Allah say at the end of the verse? إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Allah ends the ayah by saying, and Nuh was a very grateful servant of mine. From this ayah, we understand an incredible secret. And this is the power of shukr. How it can bring barakah to your life and how it can have an impact on generations to come. Allah is telling us that the reason why I showered Bani Israel with my favors is because their parents were on the ark with Nuh. And because Nuh was Shakur, I honored all those who were with Nuh. You see, brothers and sisters, this is the power of living a life of gratitude. It's very possible that many of you here today, you're sitting in a majlis, you are mosque goers, you have the love of Ahlul Bayt in your heart. Maybe you came into existence because your great-great-great-grandfather or your great-great-grandmother was Shakur. It's because of that gratitude. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Bani Israel, this nation, who are the bearers of Risala, all of this, all of these blessings were conferred upon them because their ancestors were supporting one of my servants who was thankful to me. He was Shakur. When you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, you see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, what made him unique was that he was a man of immense gratitude. The Prophet was a man who was truly Shakur. There's a narration from our fifth Imam, Al-Imam Al-Baqir, salawatullahi alayhi, where the Imam, alayhi salam, he says, كان رسول الله عند عائشة ليلتها. The Prophet used to distribute his nights among his spouses. Imam Al-Baqir says, on the night that the Prophet was with Aisha, the Prophet would leave his bed. He went in the middle of the night. And Aisha was wondering where the Prophet is going. So she followed the Prophet to see, what is he doing in the middle of the night? And she saw him standing in salah in the middle of the night. Not just for a few minutes. So engaged in his ibadah that he's crying as he stands before Allah. Standing for prolonged periods. Beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if there are mountains on his shoulder and he wants to remove those mountains. So Aisha, she says to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, لِمَ تُتْعِبْ نَفْسَكَ. وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Ya Rasulullah, why are you tiring yourself like this? While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she's basically saying that you are paradise bound. You have nothing to worry about. You are the master of paradise. So why all of this extra effort? And this is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi says, Ya Aisha, afala akunu abdan shakura? Should I not be a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet was trying to explain that this is not a relationship of fear. I am doing this because I want to do this. I enjoy this. I feel compelled to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to express my gratitude to Him. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we may wonder, how do I know if something is a ni'mah in my life? And how do I know if it's a niqmah? How do I know if Allah is giving me a true blessing or it's a punishment? And the answer is actually very simple. How is that thing impacting your relationship with Allah? Now, money, for example, has the potential to be a ni'mah. It has the potential to be a blessing. But if it's not used properly, it has the potential to be a curse, a niqmah. So if you want to know whether something is a ni'mah, your physical attractiveness, your money, your health, ask yourself, is this ni'mah making me more mindful of Allah? Is it making me more humble? Is it making me more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is that thing, that blessing, actually making me more heedless? Is it taking me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if the thing is bringing you closer to Allah, it's a ni'mah. But if it's becoming a source of distraction, you know, there are sometimes Allah gives wealth to someone. He gives wealth to Fir'aun. Is the wealth of Fir'aun a ni'mah or a niqmah? It's a niqmah, because that wealth turned him into a narcissist. With that wealth, he subjugated the children of Israel. With that wealth, he destroyed people's lives. That wealth was a niqmah. And then you have other people, Allah gives them wealth, and what do they do with it? They provide for their families. They help the less fortunate. They always remember who gave them this ni'mah. So you see that the same thing, wealth can be a ni'mah for some people, and it can be a ni'mah for others. It depends on how you are engaging with it, how you are responding, how you are reacting to that blessing, that favor. Now, when we think about gratitude, when we think about what it means to have a blessed life, sometimes we might have the false impression that the people who have blessed lives have less problems. We have this impression that if we see someone, yeah, they have money, they have health, they have a good job, and they don't seem to have any problems, sometimes we envy such people. And we say, you know, they have such a blessed life because they are free from worry. They're free from trouble. But of course, we know that this is not the reality. This is just a veneer. And especially social media has created this illusion. We think that everyone is always on vacation and smiling. You see couples smiling with each other. But do you know how many times they fought before they got the right picture? It's a veneer, it's fake. So we should never think that a blessed life is a life that is free from tragedy, that's free from calamity, that's free from hardship. In fact, there's a very powerful hadith in Al-Kafi from our sixth Imam, Al-Imam As-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi. The sixth Imam, and this is really a hadith that warrants a lot of reflection. And it's a hadith that I want you to remember and I want you to carry with you for the rest of your life. Because this hadith is a very powerful reminder for us when we start to get shaky in the face of difficulties. The narration says from the sixth Imam, دُعِيَ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ طَعَامٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was invited to a dinner. Someone in the community invited the Prophet for a meal. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi being the person that he is, the Prophet doesn't decline an invitation. He goes. No matter who's inviting him, he goes, accepts the invitation. فَلَمَّا دَخَلَ مَنْزِلَ الرَّجُلِ. When the Prophet entered the home of this person, نَظَرَ إِلَىٰ دَجَاجَةٍ فَوْقَ حَائِرٍ. The Prophet entered and he saw that there was a hen that was perched on the edge of a wall. نَظَرَ إِلَىٰ دَجَاجَةٍ فَوْقَ حَائِطٍ قَدْ بَاضَتْ. The hen laid an egg while it was perched up high on the edge of that wall. فَوَقَعَتِ الْبَيْضَةُ عَلَىٰ وَتَدْ فِي حَائِطٍ. Now imagine, the Prophet sees a hen lay an egg. The egg fell. Now what would normally happen? Falls on the floor, on the ground, and it cracks. It landed perfectly on a protruding nail. It fell and it rested right on that nail. فَثَبَتَتْ عَلَيْهِ. It just landed. وَلَمْ تَسْقُطْ وَلَمْ تَنْكَسْرْ. The egg did not break and it didn't move. It didn't fall on the ground. Imam al-Sadiq says, فَتَعَجَّبَ النَّبِي. The Prophet was amazed. I think if you try this experiment, now I don't want you to try it at home, maybe your wife will kick you out of the house. But if you try this a billion times, I don't think you will get it to land perfectly on that nail. Imam says the Prophet was amazed when he saw this. The man, he noticed the Prophet's amazement. So almost with a sense of pride, he says to the Prophet, فَقَالَ الرَّجُلْ أَعَجَبْتَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْبَيْضَةِ. Ya Rasulullah, are you surprised by what you saw? And then the man, he says to the Prophet, فَوَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ. I swear, Ya Rasulullah, by the one who sent you with the truth, مَا رُزِيتُ شَيْئًا قَطْ. He says to the Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, I've never experienced a calamity in my life. Everything goes well. My kids are healthy. Money is always coming in. I don't have any problems. Nothing bad happens to me. And sometimes, you know, when you look at some of the most evil people in the world, you wonder, everything they touch turns into gold. They're always able to escape. Everything goes well for them. So he's telling the Prophet that I have not experienced any misfortunes. If someone was telling this to us, we would say, MashaAllah, what's the secret? Do you know what the Prophet did? Imam al-Sadiq says, فَنَهَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The Prophet immediately got up. وَلَمْ يَأْكُلْ مِنْ طَعَامِهِ شَيْئًا. The Prophet immediately wanted to leave, and he didn't eat any food from that man's house. And as the Prophet was leaving, he said, مَنْ لَمْ يُرْزَأْ فَمَا لِلَّهِ فِيهِ مِنْ حَاجَةٍ. Whoever does not experience misfortunes, Allah has nothing to do with them. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given up on this person. You know, when you go to school, You have certain students who put some effort, and the teacher will hold them accountable. If you're absent, they'll ask you, why were you absent? They'll send you to detention. They'll phone your parents. Why? Because they still have hope that you're going to succeed, that you're going to pass, that you're going to do well. But if you ever get to a point as a student where the teacher doesn't even ask about you anymore, they say, you can come and go, I'm not even going to grade, you can do whatever you want, you're free. Is that a good sign? That means the teacher has lost hope. That I've tried with you and you don't seem to want to reform yourself. So I leave you to yourself. This hadith is a very important reminder for us. It means that whenever you're facing a difficulty, as bitter as it is, what you have to say is, Alhamdulillah, Allah has not left me to myself. Even the most bitter experiences, brothers and sisters, there's hikmah behind it. There's a wisdom. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he suffered greatly in his life. And Allah, he refers to him as his Habib, his beloved. Do you know the one who was beloved to Allah? He came into this world as an orphan. Do you know what it means to be an orphan in 7th century Arabia? Where everything about who you are is that you are the son of Fulan. Who your father is essentially determines your place in that society. He's born into tribulation. He loses his mother. He loses his uncle. He gets married. And he has to bury his sons. This is why when you look at the Prophet's life is a source of consolation for all of us. I can guarantee you, no matter what you're going through, the Prophet has been through a more severe trial. You had to bury a child, Khatumul Anbiya did it. And what did he say on that day when he buried Ibrahim? And Ibrahim was 3 years old. What did he say? Everyone wanted to see how is the Prophet going to react to such a calamity. Rasulullah, he says, Al-aynu tadma, wal-qalbu yahzan, wala naqulu ma yuskhitu al-rab. He says, the eyes shed tears, the heart grieves, but we do not utter anything that would displease Allah. This is inspiration. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi was expelled from Mecca, to you and I, at first glance, this is a huge tragedy that you are being banished from your home. But if it wasn't for that bitter experience, Islam would have never spread. Islam would have just remained among the people of Mecca. This had to happen for Islam to reach people like Salman, for Islam to reach the far corners of the Arabian Peninsula. These things had to happen. And you notice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, he was never bitter about the things that happened to him. He had emotions, he cried, he grieved. Imam al-Sadiq, he says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله إذا ورد عليه أمر يسر. Whenever the Prophet would see something that delighted him, he would say, الحمد لله على هذه النعمة. He would be very specific. He would say, praise be to Allah for this ni'mah. We have to make a habit of this. You have a meal, it was a delicious meal, say, Alhamdulillah ala hadhihi ni'mah. You're able to walk to your car. You know, these little things we take for granted. The fact that you can walk and you don't need to be in a wheelchair. Say, be conscious of that ni'mah. Say, Alhamdulillah ala hadhihi ni'mah. And then when the Prophet would experience something that distressed him, what would he say? Would he say, why me? What did I do? Why is this happening to me? He would say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Praise be to Allah in all situations. Because nothing, if you think about it, nothing bad ever happens to a mu'min. Yes, you might experience some discomfort in the short term. But everything that happens to a mu'min in this life is in your interest. It's for your eternal happiness. And Allah never wants you to sacrifice your eternal happiness for a short-term enjoyment. That's why the hadith says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. How wondrous is the affair of the believer. Everything that happens to the believer is good. Everything is khayr. Everything is positive. But the problem is, we see the pixel and Allah sees the picture. We see the little pixel and we think that it's chaos. And the thing is, when you look at a pixel, it looks very chaotic. There's no rhyme or rhythm. But the story of Musa and Khidr is all about that. Musa was looking at the pixel. Khidr was operating according to the picture. And Allah had granted him that wisdom. So when we think about gratitude, the Prophet was an extremely grateful person. Even though he had all of these difficulties. They were difficult, but he understood that this is a journey. This is a journey. And every difficulty is essentially a form of capacity building. Allah wants you to develop certain qualities to enter Jannah. Because heaven, you can't enter heaven if you don't have heavenly qualities. Those heavenly qualities have to be developed. We have to be purified. You know, when you think of gold, the shiny gold that you see was not shiny when they took it out of the ground. What had to happen for the gold to shine? They had to melt it. They had to melt it and remove all of these impurities. In fact, that's what the word fitna means. One of the original meanings of the word fitna, it means to scorch, to burn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, He's melting us in this dunya through trials and tribulations. To remove the impurities, to remove the filth. That's what this is all about. So when you think about this concept of shuk, we all know, we've heard of the three levels of shuk. We've heard of ash-shukr al-qalbi, the gratitude of the heart. And this is where it begins. How can you feel gratitude in your heart? First, you have to recognize the blessing. You have to recognize the value of what was given. And you have to recognize where it came from. But who is the ultimate source of this ni'mah? You know, there's a verse in the Qur'an, a very famous verse that I'm sure many of you have memorized, where Allah says in Surah An-Nahl, verse 18, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. This verse is very interesting because Allah uses the singular for ni'mah. Allah is saying, if you try to count one ni'mah, you cannot count. Because Allah says ni'mah, not ni'am. The verse doesn't say, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا ni'am Allah. Ni'mah, one. Even if you try to count one ni'mah, you can't. Why? Think of one ni'mah, like the ni'mah of health. The ni'mah of health is a bundle of infinite ni'mahs. Because for you to be healthy now, do you know how many organs have to function properly? Do you know how much of the tissue in your body has to be operating optimally? Do you know how many proteins and how many cells have to work in unison for you to be healthy? All of this has to be perfectly synchronized for you to enjoy one ni'mah, and that is the ni'mah of health. So Allah says, if you try, if you want to count one ni'mah, you are going to enter into a world where you realize that there is an infinite bundle of ni'mas within that one ni'mah. For you to come into existence, yes, you might think that, oh, my parents came to, but do you know how complicated this process was for them to cross paths, for their parents, for their journeys? It's very complicated. So any blessing that you can think of is actually a microcosm of blessings that you cannot even enumerate. So if you cannot enumerate them, obviously, how are you supposed to express gratitude for them? You can't even count them. And Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, in a beautiful dua, what does he say? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. What does Imam As-Sajjad say? He says, Ilahi, what should I thank you for? Should I thank you of the blessings that you gave or the misfortunes that you repelled? Even if you're able to count all of the blessings that Allah conferred upon you, can you also count all of the possible tragedies that could have happened but He protected you from? You can't. This is why it's important for us to feel that gratitude. There's a beautiful narration where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reveals to Musa, and you know, when you look at the conversations between Allah and Musa, you can tell that there is a love relationship between Allah and Musa. Allah, in many ahadith, He seems to tease Musa alayhi salam. So Allah says, Imam al-Sadiq says, Awhallahu ila Musa. Allah revealed to Musa, Ya Musa, ushkurni haqqa shukri. O Musa, thank me as I deserve to be thanked. Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Rab, kayfa ashkuraka haqqa shukrik. How can I thank you as you deserve to be thanked? وَلَيْسَ مِن شُكْرٍ أَشْكُرَكَ بِهِ إِلَّا وَأَنْتَ أَنْعَمْتَ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ. How can I express gratitude to you when anything that I use to express gratitude to you, you gave it to me? When I say subhanallah or alhamdulillah, do you know what a complicated physiological process this is for you to speak, for your brain to function, for your tongue to move, for you to be breathing? All of these are involuntary. These complicated processes are happening in your body and you have nothing to do with it. Allah is managing it. So Musa says, ah, what can I do? How can I thank you? And then Allah says to Musa, Ya Musa, al-an shakartani. Hina alimta anna dhalika minni. Oh Musa, I accept this admission. I accept this acknowledgement from you that all of this is from me. I accept it as gratitude. I accept it as shukr. And this is what it takes for us. We have to have those moments where we remind ourselves of who is the source of this ni'mah. And we have to get into the habit of expressing it. Don't just keep it in your heart. Let it come out. Let it be expressed on your tongue. Because I tell you, brothers and sisters, the more you express shukr, the happier you will be as a human being. People who practice gratitude, they're happier. But don't just leave it on your tongue. It has to permeate into your actions. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, what does He say to the family of Dawood? اعملوا آل داود شكرا. Practice gratitude. How do I practice gratitude? I thought shukr is just to say, الشكر لله. If I give you a gift in the form of a book, and you take it and you say to me, thank you so much, Shaykh. I'm so grateful to you for this book. And then you put it on the shelf and you never use it. Are you sincere in your shukr? No. So not using it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain blessings that we don't even use. And we pretend to be grateful. Like what? Like the Quran. The Quran is a ni'mah of Allah. Rasulullah is the greatest. Allah in the Quran says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is saying that the Prophet is a minna upon you. That this is something that you should value. But the problem is, the Prophet is like a stranger to us. We are strangers in our own religion. The Quran is a stranger. Rasulullah is a stranger. We know everybody except them. So if I give you a gift and you just put it away and you don't use it, that's not real gratitude. That's just lip service. So if you don't use the ni'mah, sometimes that is a type of ingratitude. But sometimes what is worse is for you to misuse that ni'mah. I give you a book. Instead of reading it, you go to the kitchen and you say that, you know, the table is a bit lopsided. Let me put the book underneath one of the legs so it's flat. Yes, you're using it. But was this the purpose of the book? If I come to visit you, I'm going to be heartbroken. That this is, you're not using the book for its intended purpose. Allah gave you eyes. When you look at haram, can you say that I am grateful to Allah for my eyes? You're not using it for the purpose that it was given to you for. Allah has given many of us brilliant minds. There are many people, Allah gave them the ni'mah of intelligence. But they use their intelligence to build bombs and destroy the world. So if you want to show gratitude, use those blessings in a way that would please the benefactor. Use them for their intended purpose. Use your eyes to draw lessons, to benefit from Allah's creation, to draw lessons. Use your mind for good. This is what gratitude means. And by the way, and I'll conclude with this, one of the most important aspects of gratitude is not to just show Allah gratitude. It's to show gratitude through the channels that Allah delivers His blessing to you. And that means what? You have to be grateful to people. Because so many of the blessings that Allah delivers to you, it doesn't come to you directly. The knowledge that you have, Allah gave you the knowledge through a teacher. You have to be grateful to that teacher. You were sick. You went to the doctor. Yes, you have to thank Allah. You have to recognize that He is the ultimate healer. But Allah gave you shifa through that doctor. You have to express gratitude to that doctor. Allah is the one that gave you the blessing of existence. But how did Allah give you the blessing of existence? Through your parents. You have to be grateful to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you companionship in the form of your spouse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that sense of peace and security. You have to be grateful to your spouse. Allah gave you children. You didn't do it on your own. You have to thank your partner, your spouse, because Allah gave you that ni'mah through them. Ahlul Bayt, what did they say? مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْمَخْلُوقِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْخَالِقِ. Not only should you thank people, Ahlul Bayt say, if you don't thank people, you haven't thanked God. You haven't thanked Allah. I think that as a community, we have to revive this spirit of gratitude, to be grateful to people. Rasulullah was very grateful to people. This is a part of the Prophet. See, when I said the Prophet was Shakur, we automatically just thought about his relationship with Allah. But the Prophet was shakur with people. You know why? One example of the gratitude that he showed people. Where was the Prophet born? Mecca. Where did he grow up? Mecca. Mecca was very dear to him. He went on hijrah where? To Medina. Who provided the Prophet with safe haven? The people of Medina, the Ansar. You know when the Prophet conquered Mecca, the Ansar were worried that maybe the Prophet is going to move back to Mecca because it's his home, his birthplace. So they thought that we lost the Prophet. He was with us all of these years, and now that he's conquered Mecca, he's going to go back. But what did the Prophet do? He went back to Medina. Why? One of the reasons is to express gratitude to those people who gave him refuge when no one gave him refuge. To show gratitude to those people who gave him a safe haven. He said that I will live with you and I will be buried in Medina as a token of my gratitude to the people who gave me refuge when no one else gave me refuge. This is an important aspect of the Prophet's life, to show gratitude to the people who have done good to us. You know, when we read Mafatih al-Jinan, when we read Dua Kumail, many of us were reading from Mafatih al-Jinan. How wonderful would it be for us to express gratitude to that scholar who compiled those du'as at a time where there was no internet, at a time where, you know, there was no spell check, where things had to be compiled manually. So whenever you want to read du'a, take a moment and say, thank you to Shaykh Abbas al-Qummi. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha for him. When you read a hadith from Al-Kafi, say thank you to Shaykh Al-Kulaini, who over 1,000 years ago spent 20 years compiling the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. And when you come to this masjid, the lights are not on miraculously. Someone in this community, people in this community, they're paying for these utility bills. Someone in this community donated this minbar. Someone purchased this water. All of this. We're surrounded by so much goodness from people. We have to take a moment and express that gratitude. Say thank you to all of them. Beginning with the Prophet, we should say, Ya Rasulullah, thank you for all of your sacrifices. Thank you for all of the things that you endured. To Amir al-Mu'mineen, we have to say thank you, O Ali, for the patience that you showed. Thank you to Fatima for showing us who was on haq and who was on batil. And one by one by one, you have to say thank you to all of them. And thank you to our scholars and thank you to our community. We have to express this gratitude because this is what it means to be a true servant of Allah. So going back to the verse that we began with, Bani Israel, they were honored because they were the descendants of people who were on the ark with Nuh, and Nuh was Abdan Shakura. So today, we have an opportunity to be those grateful servants. Maybe because of our shukr, maybe many generations from today, Allah will put righteous people in our progeny who maybe will support the 12th Imam. Why? Because we were people of shukr. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Respected Sheikh Azhar Nasser, my elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu Alaikum. Inshallah, we will have Dua Nutba tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. just before Namaz Jummah. Can I ask everyone to please recite Surah Fatiha for Marhum Haider Anwar Ali, Al-Fatiha. On behalf of the entire community, We would like to welcome all the guests who have arrived or who will be arriving for the wedding to our beautiful city. Please do not hesitate to approach anyone of us if you need anything, please. A great announcement. I'm extremely delighted to have been requested to announce and share some wonderful news with all of you this evening. We are pleased to announce the engagement of Hussein Dawood, son of Ali Dawood and Latifa Saleh of Vancouver, to Fatima Rashid, daughter of Rashid Muhammad Hussein and Zainab Hussein Tazia of Zanzibar. On behalf of the Executive Committee, the trustees, extended leadership team, and the entire community, we offer many congratulations to the couple and their family. May Allah bless the couple with His mercy. We will now have a munajat by Brother Eliezer Al-Arakia, followed by Ziyarat, and then we'll have a game by the youth committee. If I may ask, please, Brother Eliezer to come forward. Salawat.
If I could please request you all to stand and join me as a community to send our salams to our beloved Prophet and his holy Ahlul Bayt. Afzalu Salam. Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Ya Nabi Salam Alaikum. Ya Rasul Salam Alaikum. Ya Habib Salam Alaikum. Ya Rasul Allah Salawatullahi alaikum. Ya Nabi. Ya Rasul. Ya Habib Salam Alaikum. Ya Rasul Allah Salawatullahi Alaikum. Ya Nabi Salam Alaikum. Ya Ali Salam Alaikum. Hasanain o Fatima par Ya Nur Allah Salawatullahi Alaikum. Ya Nabi Salam Alaikum. Ya Rasul Ya Habib Salam Alaikum. Ya Rasul Allah Salawatullahi. Ya Muhammad naam pyara arsh par haq ne pukara sach payambar hai hamara ya inallah Salawatullahi alaikum. Ya Nabi Ya Rasul Ya Habib Salam alaikum. salam, ya Rasulullah, salawatullah alaykum, la fata illa Ali per, so ya bistare Nabi par, barkate kadam Nabi par, ya ain Allah, salawatullahi alaykum, ya Nabi. Ya Rasul, Ya Habib, salam alaykum. Ya Rasul Allah, salawat. Ashr mein jab ke ho aana to hame na bhool jana ashr mein jab ke ho aana to hame na bhool jana humko dozakh se bachana ya noor allah salawatullah alaykum ya nabi salam Ya Rasul Salam Alaikum Ya Habib Salam Alaikum Ya Rasul Allah Salawatullahi Alaikum Afzal Salam محمد وآل محمد
يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك all together يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك Kushai Mubarak to all of you in this very special day. Let us now pay tribute to this most amazing personality with a recitation of the ziyarat of our beloved Prophet. So take your heart to the city of Medina and join me in this recitation. Ziyarat of the Holy Prophet. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. السلام عليك يا محمد بن عبد الله السلام عليك يا خيرة الله السلام عليك يا حبيب الله السلام عليك يا صفوة الله السلام عليك يا أمين الله أشهد أنك رسول الله وأشهد أنك محمد بن عبد الله وأشهد أنك قد نصحت لأمتك وجاهدت في سبيل ربك وعبدته حتى أتاك اليقين فجزاك الله يا رسول الله أفضل ما جزى نبيا عن أمته اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد أفضل ما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا خديجة الكبرى السلام عليك يا حسن المجتبى السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله الحسين وعلى تسعة المعصومين من ذريتك علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والحجة بن الحسن أجل الله فرجا وصعل الله مخرجا وذهورا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Zakala, brothers and sisters, if I can ask you to please be seated. We have the last event for this tonight's program, and then you guys will be off for Tabaruk. I would like now to have Brother Amar Fazl and his fellow member of the youth committee to come forward and play the game and explain us the rules as well. Salawat.
Can we please get one more salawat for Muhammad Hassan Uncle for emceeing the program today? So, today, I will be emceeing for a game that me and this committee have created. And I think many of you will be very familiar with this game. It's called The Last.